Welcome. This is the Lowdown.
Woke up quick at about noon.
Booster.
Go.
Retro.
Go.
Vital.
We're go fly.
Guidance.
Guidance go.
The Lowdown. With Damian Barley.
You realize this is our radio show,
yeah,
right?
Jason Ross.
But they just need to get it right.
And Ken Rudolph.
My honest answer would be something that's probably going to be offensive.
The Lowdown.
Afternoon, gentlemen.
Broadcasting live from the Coors Light Studios. Coors Light. With great beer comes great responsibility. The Lowdown.
You mad, bro?
You mad, bro?
Knowing nothing in life but to be legit.
Now.
Don't quote me, boy, because I ain't sick.
This is The Lowdown.
Welcome to the show, and happy Friday. We made it another week. We thank you guys so much for tuning in. Jason Ross, fresh off of the set of Good Day Sacramento, Ken Rudolph. My name is Damian Barling, and we may or may not have seen the end of an era last night, but I posed the question that we've posed, I don't know, since game two, three, four. Are we ready to take the Oklahoma City Thunder seriously?
It always takes me a while to get there, but I am now.
Yeah, now?
I'm there. Sorry, now, sorry, Thunder.
Can we get rid of the fourth quarter? Is the
until they do it again?
Until they do it again.
Yeah,
there was a.
They almost. They
there was a moment.
With
yeah,
it.
Yeah. There was
it.
A moment. There was a moment there last night, up 28 in the second half, 26 in the fourth quarter,
comfortably
got down to 11. Spurs with the ball. Duncan goes for the dunk.
Oops.
It was Ibaka who blocked him. Up to Westbrook. Durant dunk. Lead back to 13, and that was the moment where my mood changed.
Yeah.
Duncan's head dropped, and it was
sad,
just
Timmy.
One of the. It'll go, if he retires, and obviously we don't know that he is, and he doesn't know that he is, and they're not leading on, if they do know, that'll be played a lot.
Da, da, da. Da, da, da. Da, da, da.
Dearly beloved, we gather here to mourn the career of one of the great power forwards in the game.
Oh, Timmy. Just the look on his face.
That was so sad, dude.
Head.
It was sad, so
Timmy.
Sad.
Oh, don't do that to me, Timmy. Don't
it
do that.
It was so sad.
No boo-boo face.
And I love Oklahoma City. I love Russ Westbrook. But that was just, that's what, like, right then it was like, oh, this just got real.
Yeah.
He might be done. And he knows the game's over at that point. Even though I think they got a stop on the next possession. They got it to 11 again. It never got down to single digits like it could have on that play. And, of course, he looked 1,000 years old going up for that dunk.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. And he looked even older when it's like he realized. I don't think I've ever seen – and obviously I'm adding some context to it because of the emotional factor. But I don't think I've ever seen a player realize during a game on national television that it's over.
Yeah.
Like, it's like he realized right then, I can't do this anymore. I can't do this like I want to. I can't do this like my team needs me to do this. They need me to help them. Because I think he knew that if he gets that dunk, it energizes the team. They're trying to make a comeback. They've already shaved off 14 points off that
lead.
Shuts
the crowd down.
Right? It shuts that crowd down. And then that doubt starts to creep back into the minds and the hearts of the Oklahoma City team.
Oh, it tightens them up, yeah.
He knows how important that play could have been.
Oh, you know their booties were clenched pretty hard there in that fourth quarter.
Yes.
Thinking, if we drop this game, the most Oklahoma City Thunder thing they could have done was blow a 26-point lead against the San Antonio Spurs and have to go back to San Antonio
to try to stay alive. Yeah.
And so that's kind of the reason why I'm not ready to take the Thunder seriously, because they had the advantage. They were the younger, the more athletic, the bigger team. They ran into a team that, you know, needs to regroup, needs to retool. And so they had the advantage. I don't trust their emotional stability. I don't trust their intestinal fortitude when they have to deal with another team that's younger than they are, faster than they are, and already has a championship in the form of the Golden State Warriors. I can't see Oklahoma City beating them. I just can't see it happening.
The Sharks won a game 7. We'll get to that in just a little bit.
No, whoa, whoa, whoa. What you talking about? Let's stay on that.
We're not staying.
Let's stay on hockey, dude. No. It was awesome.
There was nothing awesome about that.
It was. I watched that. I told you I was going to watch it over basketball, and it was awesome. The Sharks.
It was a blowout.
Yeah, that's why it was awesome. You ever seen a blowout in hockey? It's one of the most exciting things ever. They scored five
goals,
man.
You're ridiculous right now.
And they were just so quick. Oh, the Predators were done. It was just great to see.
Great outing from Johnny Cueto. We'll touch on that as well. the context of tuning into a game can be awkward sometimes. If you're not watching the entire game and you tune in midway through that fourth quarter and you see Oklahoma City up 13, you're thinking, oh my God, they're running the Spurs out of the building. But if you've been watching that game, you realize the Spurs have been running over them for the last 7 minutes.
They're losing a lead.
And you're watching that game wondering why the crowd is dead, wondering why the conversation is weird. But if you tuned in at the beginning, you realize, oh, San Antonio, they're getting ready to blow this.
Yeah.
They're getting ready to just totally screw this up, and it's going to be epic, and it's going to be a three-hour bashing of the Oklahoma City Thunder tomorrow.
Which is always fun.
Yeah.
Always fun.
That's because you don't like Russell Westbrook, and you know I do.
It's not that I don't like
him. You don't like Russell
Westbrook.
No,
it's trust.
I think you hate him.
No. It's trust. I don't trust him.
He hasn't gained. They beat San Antonio 3 games in a row.
Absolutely.
Doesn't matter?
No, I didn't get some credit for that because they didn't wilt under the San Antonio heat that was coming, the pressure that was coming at them. They stood up and they faced it. But I'm still not ready to trust him. Not ready to trust him.
Yeah. And I misread this series on a lot of levels because I really liked the Spurs, and I thought they would win it pretty quickly. I thought maybe the biggest advantage might have been coaching. But I got to tell you, Billy Donovan did a great job.
He did.
He really did. And I thought Pop versus Donovan might be the most lopsided part of the entire equation.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't look like it.
Yeah.
Donovan did great.
You know who their big two really was? Speaking of Oklahoma City, it wasn't Durant and Westbrook. It was Steven Adams and Enes Kanter.
Yep, started using those guys more as the series progressed. And even if you start to flash forward, one of the weaknesses of the Spurs, maybe a minor one of the Warriors, is rebounding. I remember the game that got so much attention, maybe the best regular season game of the year, mm-hmm. when Steph hits the bomb to beat the Thunder.
Yep.
They got out-rebounded by 30, the Warriors did. Mm-hmm. And the Spurs kept getting out-rebounded. That may be the slight avenue they have. They're underdogs. It's going to be tough, but playing those guys more really helped the Thunder.
Well, it helped them in this series.
Yeah.
It helped them in this series for sure because they didn't play together at all in game one.
Mm-hmm.
In game one, they lost by 32 points. By the way, the Spurs beat the Thunder by 32 points in game one.
Right.
They scored 31 points in the first half of game six.
Yeah. That's a must win.
That's a combination of two things, right? Great adjustments made by Coach Donovan and maybe just everything catching up to the Spurs.
Yeah.
Adams and Kanter together on the floor, 66 minutes, they were plus 27. When they were off the floor, 222 minutes, they were negative 30.
Mm, yeah.
Yikes.
So that lineup worked well against them. They were better defensively, too. That was the other reason I didn't trust OKC. Late game judgments. I mean, they make a lot of mistakes. And then their defense. But their defense got better as the series went on. They were pretty good.
So you talked about Billy Donovan. I don't want to. We hinge everything on the next game or the next series like we did with Kevin Durant and his future with Oklahoma City. Well, suddenly now what? He was gone. He was out of Oklahoma City 10 days ago. Now what? Yep. They just beat San Antonio. Now they got to play the greatest regular season team in history. We talked about Adams and Kanter. How is Billy Donovan going to adjust knowing that the Warriors are going to run the ball all over the place and those two guys just maybe lost?
He can't use that big lineup against them. Yeah, right? He has to go small. Do they have a small lineup that works? Right? I guess Ibaka's part of that because he doesn't necessarily block shots anymore. You can't use Adams in that position. You can use Waiters, obviously. Robeson.
I mean, how do you – Curry, Clay, AI, Barnes, and Green. How do you counter that?
Hold on. AI is Allen Iverson. You can't do that with Andre Iguodala.
Iggy?
You can't
okay.
do that with Andre
Try this again. Steph, Clay, Iggy, Barnes, and Dre. How's that?
Iggy. Yeah, Iggy is Iggy. No, I'm just kidding.
That's a small lineup that was going to run you out of the building. Yeah. That's going to try to run you out of the building, at least.
You probably can't even have – you talk about having Adams and Kanter on the floor at the same time. You might not even be able to have either one of them on the floor with that lineup out there.
I bet Adams is mobile. Adams can do it, I think. I mean, we'll see.
Does he guard?
Yeah, because Draymond's going to be the biggest man on the court for the Warriors in that lineup, right?
Yeah. Draymond. I would think.
I'm just trying to look at these matchups.
He's going to come out.
I can't piece these matchups together with that lineup.
Because if he comes out on Draymond Green, then that's a huge problem because then there's nothing there at the rim.
Right. And I don't know if it'll be a switch everything kind of thing. I'm not sure. That's what the Spurs did with some success. But I think they have to rebound. So I think if the Warriors miss, you have to get rebounds. I think Adams has to
play. And that's the thing. How do you rebound if Steven Adams has to guard Draymond Green?
Right.
Well, the one thing about the Oklahoma City Thunder, the best offensive rebounding team in the league. So everybody rebounds.
Yeah.
That's where Westbrook comes in and Durant. I mean, Westbrook is obviously one of the best rebounding guards in the league, and that's where he comes into play.
Yeah, it's trying to find, like last year, remember there was a counter that the Cavs used in the finals where they played Mozgov and Thompson. You're going, wait, how's it? And they kept getting rebound after rebound after rebound in putbacks. Warriors are hitting threes, though. That was the problem, and they were losing points. But over time, you're like, is this going to work? And it gave them opportunities to win in some of these series. In that series.
A lot more to talk about last night's game. A lot more to talk about with the upcoming Western Conference Finals now set. The Thunder and the Warriors. Tim Duncan, is his career done? Is he the greatest power forward in the history of the game? We'll talk about that. Plus, is there a new Spurs-like franchise? We'll touch on that on the Lowdown next. Friday edition of the Lowdown rolls along. We thank you so much for tuning in. Oklahoma City has moved on despite all of us preparing essentially for 82 games, 82 regular season games we prepared for. Well, we'll find out how good Golden State is when that Western Conference Finals rolls around and they have to play San Antonio for seven games. And I guess we'll find out how good they are when they have to play Oklahoma City.
Yeah, OKC. I mean, again, they play three times this season. I think all but two of them, the Thunder led in the fourth quarter. Durant has had monster games. Westbrook hasn't, though. That's the thing that probably needs to switch if they're going to have a chance. They both have to play great to beat the Warriors, which they're capable of. We'll see.
Yeah, we're going to see. They're going to have to. I mean, they're going to have to be great. Can they play four great games? Because they didn't really necessarily play four great games to beat the Spurs.
And that's exactly what I was going to ask is, did you think they got four great games? They had the strange...
They got three, right? You got to say they got three.
Well, sure. Well, they got four wins.
Right, but three of them were just great, really good performances. Good team performances where they were solid, relatively, from beginning to end.
They had a couple of weird endings. Mm-hmm. They had one... Well, I guess they had two, counting yesterday. Tremendous game. I would argue yesterday was probably the only game all series where you had a great performance from KD and Westbrook in the same game.
Yeah.
Because there was another game where you had KD was through the 40, roof.
Yeah. Right.
Westbrook had a game where he was incredible. And then you had a couple of games with weird endings to him.
Yeah.
And I don't even think if they replay, I don't even think if the Spurs win that one game with 13 whatever seconds left on the clock with the inbound, the questionable calls, not five of them, nine of them, whatever you want to say. From what the way they played last night, even if they would have won that game, I still don't see the Spurs closing out Oklahoma City, just the way that they were playing towards the end of the series. So even if they had that victory, and if this was forced to go to Game 7 in San Antonio, it just did not appear as though they had enough to go with Oklahoma City. Didn't have enough horses, as we say.
Yeah, they have all the skill, just not the athletic ability. And when you see the athletes of the Thunder, over time, you're going, man, they're just younger, more athletic, and Spurs have all sorts of skill, but it wasn't enough to carve them up.
We talked about the play with Tim Duncan with 3:05 left where he went for the dunk. Ibaka blocked him, Ibaka to Westbrook, Westbrook to Durant. That put the lead, which had the opportunity to go down to 9, put it up to 13. Tim Duncan does that head drop, that almost like, oh, that was it. That was our chance, and we lost it. And you question whether that's going to end up an internet meme or a gif or something like that.
Totally got to be a gif. Yeah, right?
What was the example you mama like, send you to?
When your mother sends you to bed without dessert. The Tim Duncan.
Sad womp, face.
Womp, womp.
Tim Duncan, 5 NBA championships, 3 NBA Finals MVPs, 2 NBA Most Valuable Players, 15-time All-Star, 10 times All-NBA First Team, 8 times All-NBA Defensive First Team, and in the most un-Duncan-like stat, he won the All-Star Game MVP in 2000. Is he the greatest power forward we've ever seen? There's Barkley. There's Garnett.
Malone.
There's Karl Malone. Would you put him above all of them? Dennis Rodman. By the way, I think it's Dennis Rodman's birthday today.
Hey!
I believe so.
Happy birthday, Worm. That's a tough one, man.
That greatest of all time.
That's a tough one.
Because should have saved it for three the hard way. Yeah. Gosh darn it.
Well, it's such a nowadays, too. Like, what's LeBron? What position? It's positionless basketball.
He's never been a power forward, so he's always going to be considered a small forward, right?
I don't know.
Even though he can play the position.
Right, that's what I mean. Like, we're in an age where I feel like he's just because I don't know it entirely. I don't really feel he's a power forward, but if someone said he is, and
you believe it.
Yeah.
You believe it.
But I don't
know. But if someone said he's a point guard, too, you'd be like, yeah, I see it.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, they call him the point forward, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
More likely than not, he's a three?
Probably.
But that's a great question because, you know, and I'm sure that listeners would want to weigh in because it is a tough discussion because if you go by rings, which some people would, that would be their criteria. Okay, yeah, he's got more rings than all those guys combined. But Karl Malone was so dominant for so long. He was money. For 10 straight years, you could not stop Karl Malone. And Barkley, I think Barkley would have ripped Tim Duncan a new one on a daily basis.
Really?
Oh, my. Nobody can handle Charles. Nobody can handle Barkley. Nobody.
But Tim Duncan's Barkley. One of the greatest defenders we've ever seen.
But Barkley was ridiculous. I mean, he was just so big and so quick.
Barkley in Phoenix was a physical. I know Barkley was special in Philadelphia. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
But when Charles got cut up.
Yeah.
He was ripped in Phoenix. He was thinner. He was faster.
Yep.
Won the MVP 1993.
Yes, sir.
I'll take him against the prime Tim Duncan.
I will, too, because Barkley was just a beast. I mean, you couldn't do
anything. But I just narrowed it down to like a couple of years.
Right.
Tim Duncan for 15 years. When he didn't make All-NBA defensive team, first team, he made second team.
Okay, but is it a case of system? Because as Shaq called him, the big fundamental, which meant he did everything right, but could Tim Duncan get his own shot, i.e., like Barkley? Barkley could bring the ball up and get his own shot. Could Tim Duncan do that? Because he was so willing to work within the system, do we knock him for that? Because he never did kind of do any one-on-one, I'll take the game over from here situation. He always stayed within the system, and that system fed him.
Yeah.
But guys like Barkley would just take over. It's like, forget about the system.
Right.
I'm getting a bucket.
Yeah.
And a rebound and a steal and an assist.
Yeah. And I think it's interesting. Like, it makes sense to have this conversation today, but if we are doing this in 10 years from now, when Duncan's career is definitely over and we're thinking of him, it's kind of like as you described, someone has to get him the ball, and you go off another decade of people like DeMarcus Cousins and Anthony Davis. I'm not saying they're better than him.
Right.
But they're guys that can dribble it themselves, shoot threes, and I mean, and they're power forward. It's a different position now.
And that's the thing. Anthony Davis is so unique.
Yeah.
Because of his background, the way he grew, that whole thing. If he stays healthy, he may change that position forever.
Right.
339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. AC, you want to weigh in?
Hey, guys. Karl Malone, the mailman, the biggest, baddest power forward ever. Hmm. No doubt.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, you hear that brought up a lot. You hear his name brought up a lot.
Think about you under the basket. Think about Malone coming down the lane full steam at you. He defined what a power forward is all about, and I believe he's got to be at least fourth or so on total points.
I actually think he's third, right?
Yeah.
Because Kobe.
Yeah, he's way up there. And obviously he had Stockton help him out there. But and by the way, I like the matchup with the Thunder and the Warriors. You got Durant on Thompson, maybe. You got Westbrook on Curry. And then the Rush 21-12, the Thunder center will guard anyone they want to put down there. I think they're going to surprise a lot of people.
Good stuff, AC. We appreciate the call, man. Thank you so much. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140 if you want to weigh in. Karl Malone, again, we talked about the way Charles Barkley looked in 1993, 94, 95. Karl Malone looks like that now.
All the time.
He's looked like that his entire career.
And you guys are right. He is second.
Yeah, and
Kareem.
Just in ahead of Kobe Bryant.
You know what's interesting? Maybe I'll phrase it this way to you guys. If we just take that position, power forward, we put Duncan, Malone, whoever, McHale, whatever that list is, do you have any of those guys in your top 10 all time?
Wow.
Man, I hate these.
No, you know what I mean?
It's like,
I'm not saying the position is insignificant, but I kind of lean towards point guards, centers, and Jordan. You know, it's like, I think all of these guys we mentioned are fantastic, but if I'm making a list, I think they might be outside the top 10.
But if I quickly, like, just in 10 seconds, give me your top five NBA players of all time. Could you do it?
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, you have to
do you can't do it because you'd be like, well, Jordan.
I'll forget somebody. Yeah.
Like, wait, Jordan, Magic, like, is Shaq up there?
Yeah.
Well, you get screamed at if you don't include Bill Russell.
Bill
and
Russell's
if you include
you start.
Bill Russell, you have to. I knew this.
Yeah.
I knew it. I knew.
What?
That's who you were alluding to the other day when you talked about Michael Jordan is one of the greatest basketball players of all time. You were alluding to Bill Russell.
Yes.
So you were in college when Bill Russell played. Tell me what it was like when
I used to play 3-on-3 with Bill and Bob Cousy and John Havlicek. Let me just tell you, no. Bill Russell, and you know, it's also one of those weird things. It's like when you also judge the greatest boxers, everyone will say Muhammad Ali, but it's not just because of what he did in the ring. He's a cultural icon.
Sure.
And so Bill Russell's the same way.
Have you ever had a conversation with Bill Russell?
I've not been lucky enough to have a conversation with
Russell.
I've heard that it takes a while. But
it does. It's not that it's intimidating.
Yeah. Is that right?
It's you. As soon as you meet him, you realize you're talking to someone from a whole different stratosphere.
Yeah.
It's for a regular person like me, for, you know, other basketball players or whoever. Maybe it's not. For me, when I met him, my heart was racing.
I would have been too.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Russell.
You very much didn't want to be, you know, say the wrong thing.
Right, because he'll call you on it right then. He does not
absolutely.
Have time for that. I would love to hear stories.
Speaking of that, stick around for Three the Hard Way. Jason's got a good one coming up for you at the top of the 1 o'clock hour. We'll dig more into this basketball. Giants win. Kershaw's great. Did anyone remember that? We'll talk about that in Sports 1140 KHTK.
The final second tick off. 2-1-0. Listen to the crowd roar at SAP Center. The 10th shutout in San Jose Sharks history ends the 10th game 7. 5-0, the Sharks have a ticket to St. Louis for the conference final. The Sharks' fourth trip to that ground.
It's 12:33, time for retirement checkup. Call David Hedger at Granite Bay Asset Management Group, 791-1737. It was 5-0, yet Ken, you said you were super excited about that San Jose Sharks game last night.
I'm sorry. Have you ever seen?
I have not.
But when hockey is like this, it is so much fun.
There's no drama.
Well, the drama's already
there. It's exciting. It's exciting for Sharks fans. It's exciting for the team that's winning.
Yeah.
But, like, I'm not glued to the edge of my seat. Like, if it's 2-2 and it's overtime, you know, I told you, a couple of games ago it went into triple overtime. I'm good for about an overtime and a half. And then after that, you start to get that sinking feeling that the game is never going to end. And it's not the action or the length of the overtime that gets me. It's those damn intermissions between the overtime.
Yeah.
That's true.
It's like another halftime.
So let me say from my perspective, I can't sit there and say, because I'm not a huge hockey fan where I would sit there and watch an entire hockey game for 3 hours. I had it recorded. I was doing other things. I came back in. I intentionally did not go to my computer or anything to see what the score was. I wanted to see what was happening. So I'm watching and fast forward.
And that then count.
Wait, though. But then I can't fast forward because they're scoring a goal every single time I fast forward. So my son and I, who's 5 and a half, we're sitting there. We see the scoreboard change. I'm like, okay, let's stop. Go back and see the goal. See how they're scoring the goal. And then as I got to the second and third goal, I could see there was a huge dynamic, a shift in the energy. The Predators had zero energy. They were so sloppy with the puck, and the Sharks were just crisp and fast and more physical. It was just kind of cool to see. Without having to take 3 hours of my night to see all of it. So it was just great to watch and fast forward. But then they scored a bunch of goals, scored 5 goals. And I'm rooting for the Sharks, so I didn't really need any drama.
And there you go. Game one will be here Sunday afternoon, 4:30. Puck drops at 5 right here on Sports 1140 KHDK.
Yeah, they're going to be in St. Louis, I think.
Yeah, for the conference finals?
Yeah, Sharks and Blues. Yeah, they're in St. Louis for games 1 and 2.
Neither team been to the Stanley Cup final before.
I know the Sharks have not been to the Stanley Cup final. I'm not sure if the Blues have.
They haven't.
They have not. Good call.
Thank you. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Lynn, appreciate your call. What do you got for us?
What's up, guys? I have to say Tim Duncan, greatest power forward of all time. If you go look at him, see how many NBA teams he made. But what makes him really impressive is look at the defensive teams he made the same year he was on an all-NBA team. I hate to say Malone and anybody else has never done that.
Okay, that's a fair point. I'll pose this question to you, Lynn, before you hang up, and it's one Jay Ross just said a minute ago before we went to break. Right now, off the top of your head, would you put Tim Duncan in your top 10 basketball players of all time?
Top 10 won't be in the top 5, but he has to be in the top 10. Just the way he's been playing, he's been pretty consistent for his 20-year career, and he's pretty reliable. If you look at him last night in that last game, he did better than Aldridge on the last game.
Yeah, and it was interesting. Hey, Lynn, thanks a lot for the call, man. We appreciate it. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. He started the second half on the bench.
Yeah. I think what was the stat, though? Last night he had 19. In the first five games, he had 17 combined.
Yeah.
So he had his best game of the series.
But Aldridge had 18 and 14.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how that's better than...
Well, I think what he's drawing on and, just and the way lasting... Well, I think it's lasting impressions, right? Aldridge was on the bench. Duncan was on the floor. The run was made with Duncan on the floor.
Yeah.
And that's generally what you look at. When the run is made, you don't take the guy out. You let him run. And
or what they mean to the team at the time. I mean, like when Duncan was their highest paid player and clearly their best paid player, he's getting 20 and 20 all the time.
Yep.
Now Aldridge is one of the guys. He had a great first two games, but just kind of fizzled as it went along.
And your question that you asked there, D'Lo, it's like if you phrase it in a different way, if you say, hey, do you put Tim Duncan in your top 10 greatest players of all time? Most people will say yes, but if you phrase it the other way, saying, name me your top 10 players of all time,
yeah,
they're not going to add him.
It's impossible,
weird, right?
It's impossible. It's like I said, how quickly could you name your top five best players of all time? Well, you can rattle off five names quick.
Right.
Michael, Magic, Kobe, Shaq, Wilt, Bill. Like, wait. Okay, wait a minute. You left out Karl Malone. You left out Charles Barkley. Oh, wait a minute. What about this person or that person or A, B, C, or D? And it's like, okay, wait a minute. I need a whole day to put together this list.
And it would be like we talked yesterday about value. Probably everybody's list is different. Like for me personally, if I did that, I would not put Wilt or anybody. I didn't see Oscar Robertson. I know all the stats.
Right.
I never watched him play. So how do I know? I know he's great, but it's hard for me to say how great he is because I didn't see him.
But he's a guy that averaged triple-double.
Right. And didn't Kareem average like, didn't Wilt average like 50 rebounds or something once?
50 in a season, 50 points in a season, didn't he?
Come on, how do you, again.
But that wouldn't be done today, I don't think.
Yeah, like when does that era over, right? I feel like when you talk about basketball, you have to divide the eras. And you have that Bill Russell, Wilt Chamberlain, Milwaukee Bucks Kareem, right? You have that first. But when does that cut off? Is it Magic? Is it Magic and Larry? Is that when it cuts off and you move to the era of Magic, Larry, Patrick Ewing, Charles Barkley, and then obviously Jordan, and then everything that comes after that? Is that when the new era of basketball starts and you start saying, well, okay, you got to name your 10 best players of all time, but it's probably you're not going to have very many, if any, on before 1980.
Well, and now you could almost
say— By the way, neither of us has said Larry Bird.
Right. Well, and how much is it dividing now just on numbers of three-point attempts? I mean, for people to say— You know, like Steph Curry hit more three-pointers this year, wasn't it, than Jordan has in his career or something
almost,
like that?
Yeah, it was almost. He hit 400 and, was it three? 404.
Like
Jordan has hit just around 600 in his entire career.
So in the last two, he's definitely done it.
Yep.
And does that mean they're just different? It's a different time.
It's a different game.
Yeah. It's hard to evaluate.
And I wouldn't even put Wilt on my list.
Okay.
Because
how would you put Bill Russell on that list?
Are you ready? Because every time they went head-to-head, Bill Russell took it to Wilt, and Wilt is 3 inches taller than him, but Bill's heart is just 10 times bigger. He worked harder. He just was smarter and better. Wilt just dominated, not to disrespect the legacy of one of the greatest players in the history of the game, but he dominated because he was so much bigger than everybody else. But if he's that big, how did he let Bill Russell take it to him every single time?
So I got one for you then.
Yes.
The most ridiculous nickname in sports belongs to who?
Wilt Chamberlain?
Mr. Clutch. Jerry West.
Jerry West.
How many championships has Jerry West won? How many times did Jerry West beat the Celtics?
He didn't.
But somehow, he's the logo, and he's earned the nickname Mr. Clutch. You lose championship after championship after championship.
But it wasn't because of him, because Jerry went off each time. They just couldn't get it together as a team.
Oh, let Jerry West. Let's have that mentality now. Oh, it's not his fault.
Yeah.
LeBron has gone to the NBA Finals two different times. I take that back. He's played in two separate NBA Finals. The first one's with the Cavs where he led an entire team of, God bless him, garbage.
Yeah.
And then last year he was relegated to essentially garbage because of injuries.
He doesn't
You don't ever hear, oh, it's not LeBron's fault.
Oh, you hear it from me all the time. Right.
Well, that's because you're an apologist. You do say that.
No, I understand context. A lot of people don't.
Karl Malone. Karl Malone, 14-time NBA All-Star. NBA All-First Team 11 times. Defensive First Team. Tim Duncan had 8. Karl Malone, 3.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good.
That is
they're built totally differently.
Yeah.
Karl Malone, Charles Barkley, they're built differently.
Yeah.
Than Tim Duncan. But I don't know that Tim Duncan's not number one on that list.
You know, and he might be also because of playoff performance. And there's always going to be moments for great players like Karl Malone, Charles Barkley, Tim Duncan, where their legacy is defined by how they perform in the postseason. Barkley gets a pass even though they didn't win a championship because he played like a lion, like a beast in that finals against the Bulls. What happened with Karl Malone? What's the famous phrase? The mailman doesn't deliver on Sundays.
Mm-hmm.
Clank, clank, free throws.
Man, yep.
That follows you. That follows you.
Giants win. Cueto's looking good. Kershaw's looking great. We got that for you next on The Lowdown. It's 12:47. Time for a retirement checkup. Call David Hedger at Granite Bay Asset Management Group, 791-1737. Thank you so much for tuning in on this Friday edition of The Lowdown. Got Three the Hard Way coming up at the top of the 1 o'clock hour. How about those Giants?
Yeah.
Talked about Johnny Cueto a few days ago. Not bad. Playing pretty well. Good outing yesterday. 7 innings pitched. 8 hits, 2 runs, 7 strikeouts.
Yeah, I think the takeaway from last night's game, it was at the very end. Giants are looking good. They're up 4-2. Casillas in, trying to close it out. They get the bases loaded and 2 outs, and the closer wants to finish. And he was hot. Bochy came to get him, and he didn't want to give up the ball. And then he kind of went back to the mound to say something, and finally Bochy's like, go. I'm like, wow.
I always find those interactions
like,
funny.
What the heck? And then they won, so hopefully he cooled off. But he was a little hot.
One of the greatest pitchers to watch when the manager comes to get him is John Lackey.
Oh, Lord. If you watch John Lackey, my gosh.
John Lackey's never. Yeah. He could have given up just 10 runs.
Yeah.
He's like, I got it. I got this, yeah. Skipper. I got this.
If I'm the manager, I'm like, pitching coach, you go get him. I'm not doing this.
I'm not going out there.
I'm afraid.
Because Lackey will be staring at you when you're coming. He doesn't back down at all. I remember when he was at the Angels and Socha would come out to get him, he'd just be staring at him.
Yep.
What are you doing out here?
I know.
Cueto's 5-1.
Yeah.
By the way.
Yep.
Not too bad considering when you look at what Matt Cain and Jake Peavy have been doing.
Yep. They're in the good cycle of the rotation. Bumgarner the other day, Cueto, now Samardzija. Then it goes back to the shaky part again.
Remember this conversation because the one thing that Boch has always done to win those 3 World Series, he trusts the veterans.
Sure does.
And they may struggle in April and May, but then somehow in August, September, October, they turned it around.
Yep.
They get it together.
He doesn't panic, Mike, like everyone else does. The fans and the people writing about it. They got to get rid of this guy, get rid of this guy. He sticks with them.
Not going to do it. I don't need to die. These guys are great out there, and I know what they're doing.
That's right.
Some silver lining for Oakland A's fans. The Red Sox scored 11 runs yesterday.
Oh, so they're still hot.
So maybe it's not all the Oakland A's pitching.
Yeah, but that was less than they gave up to the A's.
That's true.
When the A's were giving them up.
Who are they 13. Playing now? They crushed the A's and the Astros. Who are they playing now?
The Red Sox?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even jot that down. I just wrote. 11
more runs
should be happy.
It's not just you.
Don't worry. You're okay. Clayton Kershaw, 13 strikeouts yesterday.
He's rolling.
All that talk about the 20 strikeout game and Jake Arrieta with the Chicago Cubs and how all these guys are playing. And Clayton Kershaw just quietly reminding everybody he's still pretty good. We posed a question recently. Has a pitcher been good for a 5-year stretch? Because we talked about the motion of the pitcher goes through and the violent motion that they go through every time they pitch.
Yeah, he's in it.
Kershaw's probably there.
Yeah, he's there.
He could argue he was better, but he's still very. I mean, 13 strikeout. He's still very good.
Yeah.
He's on his way to being the Russell Westbrook of baseball.
What does that mean?
That means he has fantastic stats during the regular season.
Why do you hate Russell Westbrook?
It's not about hating him. It's about him getting better and more mature as a point guard, that the guy who has the ball in his hand that you need to be able to trust when things are on the line. Same thing with Clayton Kershaw. You get to the playoffs, and what's he been able to do? Nothing.
So if, it's a huge if the Thunder beat the Warriors, does the tune change? Because they would have then beaten the Spurs and the Warriors.
He has to win an NBA championship.
Wow.
Isn't that what we judge them
Of course. Of course
it
is.
But if they took out those two beasts, that'd be amazing.
And you wouldn't even change your opinion?
No, you have to win an NBA championship. He's the point guard. He's the guy with the ball in his hands. He controls everything. He has to win an NBA championship. Magic Johnson is judged by winning NBA championships as a point guard.
So do LeBron's titles in Miami have great value to you? Like, what if they lose this year? What if Cleveland loses this year?
You know, they're okay. I mean,
what if Cleveland loses to Oklahoma City? Because I think it's one thing if they lose to Golden State, yeah. right? It's like, well, right. okay, greatest single-year team in history, right? Yeah. All right, fine. What if they lose to Oklahoma City? What's your opinion on LeBron then?
That is a huge knock on LeBron, especially if he has all of his guys and they're all healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And they can't get it done. That is going to be a
Would
huge
you
knock on him.
Then give Westbrook some credit. Even if Durant's the MVP, would you give Westbrook credit?
Yeah, depending on how he plays. Now, if he plays horribly,
they're not going to play horribly and win. That's not possible.
No, if he because he's had some games in the series against the Spurs where he didn't do well, and Durant carried them. So if they get to the series and somehow, you know, they get to the finals against Cleveland and Kyrie Irving locks them up and they go back and forth, and Durant's the difference. If he doesn't make too many mistakes, if he doesn't set his team back, yeah, I totally will give him his credit.
We're talking about the best power forwards. Dirk,
yeah,
is in there.
Different,
totally different
yeah,
type
exactly.
of power forward. Barkley was good. This is from the text line, guys. Sorry, I'm reading from Text Nation here. Barkley was good from 87 to 95. His personality makes him seem better than he really was.
Okay,
that's interesting.
I guess I don't remember a ton about the Philadelphia 76er teams.
Mm-hmm.
I was a little younger when those 76ers, and Detroit was really, really good.
Right.
And then Chicago ascended. So I remember Charles being, I knew Charles was good. I knew he was great. But I remember him more during that stretch he had with Phoenix where it felt like he was consistently the best player in basketball, not named Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
He just had a lot of, the only thing you remember in Philadelphia was this incredibly talented kid who was extremely immature.
Yeah.
Not just
well, and that's what I remember. Yeah,
right? Not just in his preparation where he wasn't getting into shape, but he also had interactions with fans.
Yes.
He had issues happening with other teammates.
Yeah,
and
lots of them.
Spitting.
Yes,
and
he accidentally spit on the little girl. It was an accident.
Hmm.
It was an accident, but it still happened. So he had a lot of that. And he wanted to be out of Philadelphia so badly that he just started acting out to get out of Philadelphia. And then when he got to Phoenix, he was, I thought, very well behaved.
Yeah.
Because he had talent around him. He had a chance to win.
I wish, I know it's hard with text line and limited characters. I want to give this person credit because they did some research to get this in. We were talking about Wilt Chamberlain and Bill Russell. They have the head-to-head stats. Chamberlain, 28 points, 28 rebounds per game.
Mm.
This is head-to-head with Bill Russell.
Got it.
Russell, 14 points per game, 23 rebounds.
23 rebounds he averaged while the other one averaged 28? What was going on back then? Make your shots.
A lot of set shots.
But
set
those
shot Johnson.
But those Chamberlain points. Those Chamberlain points.
A swisher.
It's a pass from set shot Johnson.
Right through the net.
Oh.
Don't get him, boys. One day, the whole show like that. One time.
That's a real humdinger.
Chamberlain had the advantage in statistics, but Bill Russell still
wins.
Has more rings than fingers.
Yep. But then everyone else would say that he had a much better team. He had a legendary Celtics team.
I could win on
again,
that team.
Yeah. Again, wouldn't fly today.
No.
That would not fly. No, when does it? It doesn't. Like, it doesn't work today. That argument does not work today.
Wait, which argument?
That, oh, if he had a better team, that's why he won. Oh. If he was supposed to be the better player, then you have to win. Like, that's the rule, right? That's the rule now. Oh, you're the better player, you have to win. Doesn't matter if their team's better.
But I also find that to be ignorant, because even though Michael Jordan was the best player, he had to get help before he could win.
Right. People forget that.
They forget all of that.
Because he won six. He was 6-0.
Yeah.
Six NBA finals. So the measurement is completely different than it is with anybody else. We got three the hard way coming up next.